My name's Jen, so I'm Pastor Kim's wife, if I haven't met you. It's nice to be here with you guys. I know it's hard to sit this long, and I remember when I was getting my master's degree, after I had kids, it was so hard to, like, sit in class, and they would, like, liken class to, like, drinking from a fire hose, because you're just getting so much information, and it can kind of be an overload, so I hope that you're okay. But today, we'll kind of look at what the Word says about a couple things, and then I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes to just chat with your neighbor, and you guys can kind of discuss and apply the things that we're talking about, so hopefully you won't feel so, like, too much information or information overload. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much just for today. Thank you for just the chance that we have to be able to learn about your Word and how you challenge us to grow as parents. It's just a daunting task, but we are just so thankful that we have your Word and we have your grace that just helps us to be able to just shepherd our kids' hearts, to raise our kids, hopefully, just to love you. And I just pray that you would bless our time this morning, that as we just kind of look at just having a bad mom day and maybe what that consists of. Lord, I pray that we would just be able to find great hope just in your Word as you teach us how we can recover from a hard day, and how when we're just close to you and in your Word, that every day can really be a good day. So we just thank you for this time and pray that you would just be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Kim kind of told you a little bit about our family. We have four kids. So we have Caleb, Josiah, Carissa, and CJ. They are 10, 9, 7, and 3. And our older three kids come here to Valor. So we love Valor. Happy to be here. I hope this morning was a blessing to you. And a lot of things that we're going to talk about are very similar. It's actually just kind of more applying the same biblical truths to our own life. And just as we live those out and understand those truths, then it helps us to have a good day every day. Today's topic is when you're having a bad mom day and how to deal with the daily frustrations of being a mom. And there's an outline in your thing if you want to take some notes. So if you're a mom, you know exactly what this topic is talking about, right? So if I say the phrase bad mom day, maybe something immediately comes into your mind. Again, we have four kids, and at one time, so our first two, I think Kim mentioned, are 11 months apart. And so I had, my second wasn't even walking, you know, by the time we had, first one wasn't walking by the time we had our second, and then 2 years later we had our daughter. So those times were pretty crazy. I just remember, or actually I don't remember a lot because it was such a blur. And it was just, a crazy time of life. So I can definitely completely relate to having just a hard day and just feeling really frustrated and tired after long days. And it doesn't really matter how old your kids are or how many kids you have. It's just hard being a mom. Being a mom includes, I wish I had known this before I was a mom, but being a mom includes being a nurse, a teacher, a counselor, a doctor, a housekeeper, a cook, a bookkeeper, a chauffeur, a coach, a piano teacher, and sometimes much more. And there's not really any other job in the world that requires you to do all those things well and at one time. So I think that just, it sometimes can cause us to have a hard day, or it makes our day seem challenging or frustrating. So hopefully this morning, as we kind of look at God's Word, as we apply His truths, it will just encourage you on those days where you have those hard times. And I know that as you start to just live out just what God's Word says, that every day can be a good day, even though things might not go the way that you had planned. When I say the phrase bad mommy day, what comes to mind? I know I can think of a lot of bad mommy days that I've had. It's just days when everything seems to go wrong and you're tired and you're grumpy and you're frustrated and maybe kind of mean. I wrote down a few that I remember. One, I was taking three of our kids to Disneyland and I was going to meet my brother. And my kids were really young. They were probably like 4, 3, and a baby. And so I didn't want to wait in line in the parking structure for the elevator. So I was like, oh, I'll just take the escalator. So, you know, I fold up my stroller. I have my baby in the Bjorn, and I was like, okay, and then maybe I can hold one hand. And I was like, my oldest can go down the escalator. But for some reason, when we're going down the escalator, he starts freaking out, like, I don't want to go on the escalator. And he's like, almost starts like rolling down the stairs because he's like sitting and like so nervous. Then all these people are like, oh my gosh, you have your hands full, let me help you. And like this one guy was like a fireman, he was trying to help Caleb get down the escalator. And it was just so embarrassing. Like I felt that, it just felt so lame. So that was one bad day that I remember. Another bad day or challenging day. So Kim mentioned that we adopted our youngest CJ from Japan. And so when we went to go pick up CJ, we took our whole family. And so we took our three kids and we thought it was a great trip. It was really fun. But just getting the kids, you know, like on the airplane, a 9-hour flight, and then after the flight, we had to take a bus to get to our hotel, which was like another hour, and then they're jet lagged and everything. So right when we get off the plane, Chris has an accident. She pees all over the floor in the airport, like right before we're going to go through customs. So we have to go change her. And then right after that, we're trying to get on our bus, and Kim forgot one of our bags. So I had to take all three of the kids on the bus by myself, and they're like all crazy because they're so tired. And I was just like doling out candy just like to keep them sane. And I was by myself, and I was going crazy. And then right as we're getting off the bus, my youngest one like barfs all over the floor. And it was, yeah. And in Japan, you know, everything's very clean. So, yeah. So that was one of my crazy days. So I'm sure that you can relate. And the last one that I thought of is one time my sister-in-law was watching our kids. And later, after she had watched our kids, she calls me on the phone. And she's like, oh, you know, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we're watching one of your kids. And she told us, you know, that we asked her to do something. And she just said flat out, I don't have to listen to you. I only have to listen to my mom. And I was just horrified that she would say that. Or I don't know why she thinks that she doesn't need to listen to other people. So, again, those are just a few of my own examples of days that were really challenging, were really hard as a mom. Maybe for you, it's different. Maybe it depends on how old your kids are. Maybe you have kids who still wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe you have a bad day because you oversleep, because you're so tired, because you hardly got any sleep from the night before. Maybe you have a bad day because you're yelling at your kids because they forgot their lunch and you have to go back to school to drop off the forgotten lunches. Maybe your kid has an accident. Maybe you get a call from the teacher that your child is sick or not behaving. Maybe you have a bad day because your house is messy and there's toys everywhere and you had just cleaned it up and then in the next 5 minutes your house is messy again. Maybe you're having a bad day because your kids won't stop fighting and you just yelled at them 5 minutes ago to stop fighting. You don't have any time for a quiet time or to read your Bible or do anything like that. You're never alone. Going to the bathroom might be the extent to your being alone. Maybe you have a bad day because you're just running around like a crazy person. Like after school, you're going to soccer, to ballet, to piano, helping with homework, cooking dinner, and you just feel crazy. Or maybe you just are working. Maybe you work as well as take care of your kids, and so maybe you just have no time to rest, and that makes you have a crazy day. So so think about your day, you know, like what makes your day crazy, and then think about too, so what do you do when you have a bad day? I think there's lots of things that we think of ourselves to make ourselves feel better if we have a bad day. So maybe it could be just go to sleep, like I'm just going to sleep it off. Or maybe you indulge and have a nice snack, eat something good that you love to eat. Maybe you yell and you fight with your husband because you need more help, because you feel like your day wouldn't have been so bad if you had more help from somebody else. Maybe you cry, maybe you complain to girlfriends, I don't know. So just think about, if you have a bad day, what is it? And then think about, what do you usually do to remedy that? What helps you, you know, on those days where you have a bad day? So take a couple minutes and think about just what does your crazy or your hard day consist of. You can just share a couple things. You could share about a specific day that maybe you had a hard time, or you could just share, you know, in general. It's like, I go crazy when my kids blank, blank, blank. So we'll just take a couple minutes, and then after that, we'll move on to the next point. So you, sorry, I know ladies like to chit chat, but you can continue your conversation later. I help with the mom. I used to help with a mom's group that we have at church, and it was such a blessing. I think just to go, and if we didn't hear a good message, and we normally did, it's just so nice to be with other moms, so you can kind of, I don't know, just ask them, how do you deal with this, what do you do with this, and or just even to be talking with adults. So yeah, so I hope today is encouraging to you in a little way. So today, that's what we're going to be looking at, now that it's kind of fresh in your mind, as you think about, okay, this is kind of what it looks like when I have a bad day as a mom. We'll look at what God's word says about it, and just how when we choose to live God's way, that every day can be a good day. So the first point on your outline is just the danger of choosing my way. Okay, the danger of choosing my way. So when we look at a bad mommy day or a bad mom day, it's just full of circumstances or things that didn't go the way that we wanted. Right? Maybe our house is messy, our kids are misbehaving, got a flat tire. And this is life, right? Constantly full of just different things that maybe don't go the way that we planned. So you have to start thinking about, okay, so what am I going to do when I have these difficult circumstances or when things aren't going the way that I want? Naturally, maybe you get frustrated or just depressed. Maybe you just get angry. It could be a lot of different reactions. Or maybe you yell at those who are, maybe blame others, you know, for making your life so hard. I know I can do that with my kids a lot. Or maybe you even get angry with God because you're like, if, you know, God's in control, so he's the one who made this happen in my life, so you get angry with him. So a lot of that is choosing our way, right? Choosing to respond to these difficult circumstances. And so the reason why we respond to these difficult circumstances with frustration and anger is because we are all worshiping the wrong thing. And so it's pretty similar to what Kim has been talking about, I think, in there, just about just our hearts and worship, but we'll kind of go a little bit deeper and kind of apply it to us as moms. So everything we do in life is controlled by our worship. So what we worship, so worship just isn't, you know, the time during church when you raise your hands and you sing praise songs to God. Really, when the Bible talks about worship, worship is what we hold most dear. It's what we want. It's our desires. It's the things that we just can't live without. That is really our worship. And God created us in this way, right? He created us to worship. So the problem is when we don't direct our worship to him, we direct it to all these other things. And so that's the bad news. So in Romans 1:25, it says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here it's talking about idol worship. An idol worship is not just bowing down to a little golden statue. It's any time that we are worshiping the creature over the creator. So worshiping anything that God has made or anything else above him. So that is what idol worship is. And so oftentimes we can kind of figure out what we're worshiping by our reactions to things. So when we don't get something that we really want, maybe we get frustrated or angry or upset, then that's kind of a trigger to you. I think that's an idol in my heart. That's something that I'm worshiping above God. And I just highly, highly value it, almost to the, or to the point where I love it more than I love God. And a lot of times it gets a little tricky to kind of identify what our idols are, because a lot of times the idol itself can be a good thing. But because we're willing to sin to get it, then it becomes a bad thing. So we'll go over some examples to illustrate what that looks like. But in the context of having a bad day, oftentimes we are having these bad days because we're worshiping the wrong things. So if we were really worshiping God above these other idols or other things that we hold so dear, then our day wouldn't be so bad. It wouldn't be, in our minds and our hearts, we probably wouldn't think of it as a bad day. So again, it's so important to just really figure out in your heart what are these things that you're worshiping, because a lot of times that is contributing to your tough day. So yeah, again, if you think about it, like if our hearts weren't so set on these things, then we would be okay without them. And we wouldn't get frustrated or angry or mad if we didn't have them. So I'm going to share a few. There are tons. I mean, the list of what different idols are is endless. But it's just whatever is really important to you. And so I'm going to share a few that I know I struggle with a ton. But I'm just highlighting a few that maybe you can relate to. And so just be thinking as I kind of go over explaining what a few of these look like in my own life. Be thinking if this is an idol in your heart, or if you can just right off the bat think of other things that grip your heart or that have become an idol in your life, because it could be different. So one is like an idol of cleanliness. So like growing up, I was never a neat freak. My apartment in college was pretty messy, and I don't know, I'm not that crazy, but I do like things to be in a certain order. So like in my house, like I feel rested when my house is kind of clean, kind of. And I could tell that having a clean house or a clean car or a clean garage or whatever it is becomes an idol, because when it's not that way, I get crazy, right? I yell at my kids, clean up your room. And I get frustrated with Kim if he's not, you know, helping clean the way that I want him to. And All these are triggers to tell me that, you know, having this clean house or being clean has become an idol in my heart. So that's one. Another one that I think I struggle with is just the idol of having kids who behave. So it's not even because I'm a pastor's wife. I don't know. I think I would want my kids to behave no matter what. And when my kids don't behave, oh man, like all kinds of sin comes flying out. I can get yelling at them, get mad at them, lecture them, be overly harsh with them because I want them to behave so badly. Or even the other extreme, right? Like, especially like in the example of my sister-in-law, like when other people notice that my kids don't behave, oh, more sin, right? I get anxious, I start worrying, oh, they think I'm a bad mom, and da 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 da. So again, the anxiety, the anger, that's a trigger to me to show me I am just idolizing having kids who behave. So again, having kids who behave is good, right? God wants us to have that, but when we want these things so bad that we're willing to sin to get them, then they become an idol in our heart. Another common one, Kim and I get to help with a lot of counseling at our church, and so we get a chance to interact with a lot of people and just walk alongside them just with their challenges and difficulties. So just meeting with a lot of ladies and counseling them, I think one that's very common for ladies is the idol of control. So maybe another aspect to a bad day is when your day doesn't go as planned, right? You forget something, you forget to bring the snack to soccer, you forgot to bring diapers, maybe your kids make you late to something that you were supposed to be on time for, and your schedule gets all out of whack. And so, you know, if you start getting anxious and angry about these things, then that's a trigger to you that maybe just this idol of control, like you need to control every single thing in your life. Maybe that has become an idol in your heart. So that's a big one. Another one is just the idol of comfort. Like, that's become, sadly, a big one for me. Like, I just love, you know, the time after my kids are sleeping and I can just read or watch TV or just spend time with Kim or just be comfortable. I'm in my pajamas. I'm eating something good. I don't know. I just love that. And so if you try to take that away from me, oh, man. Just crazy woman comes out. Like when your kids, you know, keep coming out from bedtime. Yeah. Mom, I need water. Mom, I need this. It's like, I am so not patient. And again, that shows me that just this comfort has become an idol in my heart. So there are tons of idols that we can have, and I don't know which ones you relate to, but just start to think about your day. Like, what is it that you want so bad? It could be maybe you're really concerned about your looks. You know, maybe you have a bad day because you ate bad, or you put on a few more pounds than you want to. It could be money. It could be success. It could be having a job. It could be not having a job. It could be tons of things. But it's just so important for us to really understand what our heart is worshiping and desiring and demanding, because if we want to have a good day, then we need to make sure that we're not worshiping these things above God, because the days that we're worshiping those things above God is when we have a bad day, right? It's the days that we're mad and we're angry. And so if we weren't worshiping those things, our hearts would be okay, right? Like, I'm sure you could think of a handful of things that are maybe not an idol to you. Maybe like sports on TV, right? Like if your husband likes to watch ESPN every night and that has no interest to you, right? It doesn't matter to you if you get to watch ESPN every night. It's not an idol in your heart. So you're okay if I get it, if I don't get it, you know, it's not a big deal. But that's kind of where we want everything in our hearts to be before God, is right. It's not where we're gripping onto it, where we have to have it so bad and we're willing to sin to get it. And also, it's good to think, I was just reading this one book. It's really good. It's called Lies Women Believe, and it's by Nancy Lee DeMoss. Really, really good book. And a lot of what she's talking about is just how these idols that we have are very tricky. And I had never really thought in this way, but a lot of times we just start believing these lies that our idols are feeding us. Like, for example, we believe, like, if I don't have my comfort, you know, like my 2 hours of TV every night, I will not be happy. But that's a lie, right? Because when you look at just that statement against scripture, you know that that's not true, right? God says that you can be joyful no matter what your circumstances, or it doesn't say you're only going to be happy if you have such and such thing. So it's good just to start thinking about, like, how are these idols kind of tricking me, and I'm starting to believe these different lies, because as we believe those, then we just continue to live that way, right? Feeding those idols and trying to live for those things instead of the things of God. Okay, so we are short on time, but I was going to have you write down just idols that might pop into your head that you think that you struggle with, but hopefully you can do that on your own time.
Yeah. What's the book by?
It's Nancy Lee DeMoss. Yeah. It's L-E-I-G-H and then D-E-M-O-S-S. Really good book. So just start thinking about just the idols that are in your heart. And I know that as you start to identify them and to deal with those, then that will make your bad day not as bad. Okay, so moving on to the next idea. So the second point is the remedy and the hope for choosing my way. So maybe you had that day where you did just choose your way. You were choosing to worship your idols and to be upset if you didn't get what you wanted, you know, that day. What's the solution for that? Okay, so the solution for that is the gospel. And so every day we have to just preach the gospel to ourselves and just retell the gospel to our own hearts. So the gospel is probably familiar to a lot of you. It might not be familiar to some of you, so I'll just quickly go over what it is. So the gospel is just the good news of Christ. It's like, it's the central message of what being a Christian and what Christianity is all about. We're all born sinners. So Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all sin. And just even, right, like in just the first point of just idol worship, we can just see our sin everywhere, right? Like when we get angry, upset, Yeah, just constantly sin everywhere. So we're all sinners. And we're constantly, we can see the sin in our idol worship because we're constantly worshiping all of these things above God. And so the punishment for this sin is that because God is just, then the punishment is eternal condemnation. So this might sound really harsh, but God is holy and he's perfect. And so that makes him just, right? So he has to think of some way, when we're sinners and we deserve some punishment, some way to reconcile us to him because he's holy. And so the good news is that God sent his son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sin. So the punishment that we deserve, just that condemnation, eternal condemnation, he sent his son, his only son, to die on the cross for our sin. And so Jesus takes our punishment. And so when we just have faith in that and believe in that, then we're saved. We receive the gift of eternal life. And a key part of that is that we're forgiven of all of those sins, every sin that we have and ever will commit. Colossians 3:13-14 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So it's kind of, this verse is almost summarizing what the gospel is. And so when we have these bad days, when we choose to live our way, we choose to worship our idols, we choose to demand, you know, that everything go our way, we have to have all of the things in life that we want. Those are the days that we feel bad and we have a bad day. So the remedy is the gospel. You have to preach the gospel to yourself because that is what is really going to bring your heart hope. And so, like from this verse, it says, we're forgiven, right? It says in verse 13, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. So hopefully that's a huge encouragement to your heart, right? Like on those days where you just had a bad day and you know that you maybe were unkind to your kids, you were unkind to your husband, you sinned in all these ways. Praise God that you are forgiven, right? God says he forgives all of your sin. So no matter how angry you were, how mean you were, God forgives you. So there's just great hope in that. Like, I know for myself as a mom, like when I was single, I probably thought of myself as a pretty good person. Like, you know, I didn't yell at people and I don't know, I was generally pretty happy and it was pretty easy. But when I have four kids and a husband, I am so aware of my sin. It's just coming out all over. It's really sad. But the good thing is that I have a much, much deeper appreciation and love for God's forgiveness. I need it daily. Whereas before, I don't think I had that deep understanding of, you know, how much God has forgiven me. And so that's good, right? Because that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to see our sin and our great need for him. So even when you have that bad day, it's still good, right? Because God is showing you just how we can't do anything on our own and how we do need his grace and his mercy. And he gives that to us every day. So I know that is of great hope. And then in Colossians 2, it talks about just seeing that as Christians, we can change. So maybe, you had that bad day. You could feel hopeless if you feel like, gosh, I'm just going to always be like this, right? I'm just going to always be this tyrant who yells at people and gets mad. But just from the gospel, we know that we can change, right? We're forgiven. We repent of our sins. We ask God to forgive us for worshiping these idols. And then once we recognize that sin and confess it to him, then he begins to change our hearts, right? He begins to slowly but surely help us to grow. So maybe if your difficulty is anger, then he'll help you to be less angry. He can help you to, just be satisfied in him alone. So hopefully those two points alone, just from the gospel, will encourage you on those days that you have a hard day. Yeah, and again, so like we get to help with counseling at our church. And I think one of the blessings, one of the biggest blessings, is just walking alongside other people with their struggles with sin. But it's amazing how the gospel really can change people. So I think the more you have the word in your heart and the more you're trying to live out the way God wants you to, he can really change you. And it's amazing. It's really awesome to see. So take hope. If you have that bad day, just know that God's forgiven you and know that you can change by his grace. So when, again, we're running out of time, so I wish I had more time to give you to chat. But if you, let's see, we'll share at the very end. But just be thinking for your own self, you know, so the next time maybe you have your bad day, like you kind of chat with your friend about what your bad day consists of, just think about, okay, how can the gospel really help me, you know, to have the right perspective after having that bad day and give me hope for having better days in the future, okay? And then the last thing is the practice of living God's way, okay? So kind of the way I was thinking about it is just, so sometimes maybe we have a bad day, bad circumstances, and we choose our way. We choose to worship our idols, and we sin, and we get angry. And then, but God is so gracious, right? There's a remedy for that bad day. But other days, maybe God is gracious to us, and we just choose to live his way from the beginning. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about in this third point, just kind of what that might look like. So the practice of living God's way. So let's see. Okay, so again, we can either choose to live our way or God's way. I think a big part of living God's way is, again, we have to just be so close to him to know who he is, and we have to know what his word says. And I think that as we grow in that, then we can just start to live his way all the time, okay? And so I think one aspect of living God's way, especially in light of having these challenging or frustrating days, is trusting God. Okay, so the first part or one way that we can live God's way is by trusting God. I think, again, the more that we understand God's character and who he is, then the more we can live in light of that, right? So we constantly need to be growing in our understanding of God's holiness. God is sovereign. God is good. He's in control of all things. And so just even those three alone, right? A loving Heavenly Father who's in control of all things. Then the more I understand those characteristics or those aspects to God, so much easier to trust him, right? Because who would you rather trust, yourself, or would you rather trust the God of the universe who loves you, right? So constantly, we as moms, we need to be growing in our understanding of who God is and his character. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." So it tells us about him, and it also gives us an example of how we should be in our life, right? Wouldn't it be so great if that's how someone described you, as merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love? I would love to be described like that. So again, understanding who God is, and then we can kind of try to grow in our sanctification to mirror him, to look like him. Isaiah 6:3 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So just thinking through, how does the fact that God is holy, how does that influence my life? That influences a lot of things, right? Because if God really is in control of all things and he is holy, he's perfect, then I'm going to want to know that God. I'm going to want to live like him, right? Proverbs 3:5-6, I'm sure a lot of you know this verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So again, when you're having that rough day, a huge part of living God's way is just by trusting him. So trusting that even though your kid barfed on the floor, your kids are fighting, you didn't finish your homework, your kids are getting bad grades, still trusting God. Okay, and I know that if you have that trust in him, it won't make those things or that day seem so bad, because you know that God is in control of all of those things, right? That seems so bad in our eyes. And again, we have to just be careful that we're not living by the lie, right? The lie, the opposite of that is that we start to feel like, well, maybe God wasn't in control of that. You know, like, I got in a car accident. I don't know if God really knew that that was going to happen or he really wanted that to happen in my life. That's a lie, right? Because we know that God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. And so we have to fight the lies and live by the truth. And I know that when you live by that truth, then you will reap the blessings of that. There's just so much less stress, right? You wouldn't have to worry like, well, why did this happen to me? You know, like, oh, I don't know. Your life would just be so much peaceful if you really just had a deep trust in God for all things that happen in your life, especially things that are challenging or hard. I think God has really shown this to me in my life. When I was a freshman in college, my mom passed away because she had cancer. And so that was probably the hardest challenge or trial that I've ever had to go through. And at the time, I don't know if I could have thought like, oh, God will use this for the good, or, you know, this is God's sovereign and he can use this for such and such reason in my life. I don't think I could have thought of any of those things, but he really has. And I think it's been, I definitely wish my mom was here, but I think that he's blessed me and provided so much for me despite that challenge or that hard time. And I can just see how he's so good. Like, he's provided other aunties who are like second moms to us, my brother and I. I think it really challenged me to live my faith because I know that's what my mom would have wanted, and so forth. So I think just even through these challenging days, challenging circumstances, hard things, if we just trust God, you know, maybe in the time it is hard, you know, and you still have to mourn or be sad or, you know, have the different emotions that you might to what your difficulties are. But I think when you just have that trust in God and you just stick close to him, it's good. And he'll eventually, he could or maybe he won't reveal to you why he let that challenging circumstance come into your life. But I think a lot of times he does. And it's a blessing. Like, I can think of a lot of hard times that we've had to go through. But a lot of times those end up being good times because it draws us closer to him. It makes me trust him more. It teaches, like, right, the times when life is good, it's easy to kind of put God on the back burner and not really think about him. But I think those times that are intense, right, where you're like, oh my gosh, my husband doesn't have a job, or, you know, my mom is sick or whatever. Those are the times that you cling to God, right? And he really just grows you in your faith. So just trust God, you know, on those days that seem hard or frustrating. And I think another part of living God's way is just remembering that God can use these hard circumstances in our lives for good. And he promises that in the Bible constantly. At Lighthouse, we're really blessed to have a lot of great teaching. And a lot of times this is a common theme that, you know, like, even amidst our suffering or even amidst our trials or our difficulties as a mom, that God is using, we can know and be assured that God is really using all those things in our lives for good. It grows us in our sanctification to be more like God. Again, it can just grow us closer to him, just because we grow in our trust. Genesis 50:20, this is the verse that Joseph, I love this one. This is Joseph, right? The story of him where he just had this crazy life, right? His brothers threw him in a hole, sold him into slavery. He got wrongly accused of committing adultery with some lady. He's in jail. So you would think he's had a bad day, right? He's had a hard life, a lot of challenging circumstances. But this is what he says. He says, as for you, he's saying this to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people who should be kept alive as they are today. So he knows that God used all of those challenging and hard circumstances in his life for good, right? For the greater good. He, like, saved Israel, right? So I know that that really encourages my heart. So in those moments where I'm like, why is this happening again? You know, like, why do I have to discipline my kids again? Or why do I have to do all of these things over and over that I don't enjoy doing? just the fact that I know that God puts them in my life for a good reason, to sanctify me, whatever the reason, it's always for good. That encourages my heart and it helps me to see maybe things that I thought were bad as good. And then Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So this one's a great verse because it's just talking about how our hard times really grow our character, right? It grows us in our hope and our faith and understanding who God is. And so, again, we could be thankful for those hard days. We could be thankful for our trials or our suffering. So I encourage you to start thinking about, like, what does that, applying these truths, look like in your life practically, right? So think about those moments when you're having your hard day. And just think about, how would my life look differently if I was trusting God? If I was remembering that God puts all of these circumstances in my life for a good reason, hopefully it would look different. Your heart would be different, and the way that you live would be different. I think God's really shown me a lot of this just through having kids, same thing. I think, like when it's just intense and you all need something at one time and life just gets kind of feels out of control or challenging. I feel like God's really used that to just help me to rely on him. Like, I never thought I would need to pray to God to help me to go to the grocery store. But I do. Like, when my kids were little, right, I have one here, one here, one here, one here. I just want to get my stuff and leave without, someone messing something up on the grocery aisle or fighting or whatever. But I am so close to God, right? Because those times are hard and it's challenging, but it's good because it's shown me I can't do anything by myself. I need God in everything. So again, look at your challenges and the things that you have in your life. They're good. They can be good for you. So how do we do this? What helps us to live like that? Just three things, I think, practical. One, for sure, be in the Word, right? You have to continually fill your heart and your mind with the Bible, with His truths. Reading good books that, teach you what the Bible says. I know that helps me tons. Hearing good teaching, like going to church on Sunday, hearing good preaching, going to MOPS or M&M or any mom's group, just a place where you can constantly be filling your life with the Word. And I think, too, just having accountability. I think that helps me a lot. Like, just, again, fellowshipping with other moms or talking to older moms who've already lived through the crazy times and, asking them what helped them, to still have joy amidst these crazy circumstances. I think a lot of those things help me to live God's way instead of my way. So, in conclusion, last thing. There's this one gal that I've gotten to know at church recently, and she's just this amazing lady. So if you met her, she's always joyful. She's beautiful. She's so fun to be around. She loves God. And she loves her husband. I love the way she loves her husband. It's so cute. But the thing that you would never know just by meeting her on the street is that she has three autistic boys. And so the oldest one is high functioning, so he's able to go to school. But her youngest two are older, but they are going to require long time care for the rest of their lives. Like, they are going to always need someone. She constantly has to worry that they're going to just leave the house. One is actually in a home now where he's taken care of, but the younger one is still with her and her husband. So challenging, right? So of all people who I would, when I think of someone who has a challenging or a hard mom day, I would think of her. And hers, too, is so different because it's not just for a season. It's for her whole life, even when her boys are older, they're going to just constantly need care. And so I think she's just such a good example of somebody who really loves God, lives out his word, is able to live joyfully every day, no, even despite her tough circumstances or the trials that come into her life. So I think it's just, it brings me hope, and it's a great example to me, because it's like, yeah, maybe we have hard days, but I know my days are not even close to what her hard days are. And I just see how she just loves God, loves his word, lives it out. And what a blessing, right? You just live the way that God wants you to, and then you reap the blessings, right? Joyful, good marriage, fun to be around, still loves life. So hopefully that will encourage you when you have your challenging day. So yeah, let's just close with that. And then, sorry you didn't get to chat more, but you can maybe chat after. But I want to let you go because you're done now. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today. Just thank you so much for your word. Just thank you for the things that you teach us about how when we do have challenges or things that are hard in our life, God, that you really give us your word that teaches us how our hearts can trust you, how even when we choose to live wrongly and to worship these other things above you, how there's still forgiveness in that and you can grow us. So Lord, we just thank you for just these challenging situations or times that come into our lives as moms, and we just thank you for them because we know that you're using them in our lives to just grow us to be more like you, to grow us closer to you, and yeah, just to sanctify us. So we just really thank you, and I just pray for all of these moms that you would just really encourage them just in their daily life, that they would be able to really trust you and just be filled with your word. And I know that as they do that, that you're really going to bless them no matter what circumstances or difficulties come into their life. So again, just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.